Today's Bible reading is taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and it's taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Amen.
This morning, I think, is what I call a pick and mix message. That means there's going to be different bits to it. There's one topic, but different bits to it. And I kind of feel the chances are, in some ways you hope that God speaks through the whole message to everybody, but the chances are certain bits will speak to you, or God will prompt certain bits, I think, to speak to you. The question is which one, or which bit, or which bits, I have no idea. But it's that kind of message today. You'll see what I mean. In our Wednesday afternoon midweek fellowship here at church, we have been looking at the Just Ten course. And it's based on the Ten Commandments. It's by the evangelist J. John. Some of you will know J. John. And what he's been doing is he's been taking us through the Ten Commandments in reverse order. And we have the original title, and what he does is gives them a slightly wider title. And he kind of helps us to think about the wider title of the Ten Commandments. We've had some interesting discussions. It's a pity Ernie's not here today. We had some interesting discussions on do not commit adultery with Ernie. it's been good. I think the group have really enjoyed doing it. I suppose the big overriding question has been, are the Ten Commandments still relevant today? And I think I'm pretty certain that the group who've gone through this course would echo that they very much are, perhaps even more relevant than ever in today's world. This week, we did number three, the third commandment. And the third commandment is titled, Do Not Take the Lord's Name in Vain, or J. John entitled it, How to Take God Seriously. And we looked at how often God's name is misused and is abused in our world and our society today. I remember Mike Galligan actually preaching on this once about just how you know, things like blaspheming and using God's name casually and in the world and on TV, and it become very much a kind of a, well, people just do it, don't they? So as I was thinking about that issue today, that kind of course this week, on Monday I started to think a little bit more around this whole idea about words. Sort of about, I was expanding it a little bit myself. And it took me to this reading that Sue read for us in James 3, verses 1 to 12, entitled Taming the Tongue. Verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." That's great, but we know none of us are perfect, are we? So none of us can do this claim. And what James does, he gives some illustrations just to show how influential the tongue and our words are. He says it's a bit like a bit in a horse's mouth that can just turn a horse one way or the other. He says it's our tongue's like the ship's rudder, this massive ship, but it's controlled by this small rudder. He says a forest fire, it can be set off by just a spark. And the tongue is that influential, that powerful. James says that the tongue sets the whole course for our lives. Verse 8, it says, "No human can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil." Not great, is it? And verses 9 and 10, it says, "Out of the same mouth comes praises and curses." And this illustration of how can fresh and salt water flow from the same spring. So it's a big issue. You can see the kind of importance of this issue. And we were thinking about it on this Ten Commandments. But I wanted to just widen it out a bit. And there'll be different elements of this. And I just pray that God will speak to you at least through one of them. That's my prayer, if not more than one. My first thing then is this. As Christians, we have to be so careful how we use our words. What we say, how we say it is important. We know we have WWJD, what would Jesus do? But maybe we should also have WWJS, what would Jesus say? Our words are an expression of who we are. They are windows in many ways into our lives. They are adverts to the outside world to who we are, aren't they? Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life," fantastic, "and death," not so fantastic. So I want just to consider firstly this illustration of salt and fresh water coming from the same spring, which he talks about like our mouths. So I suppose when he's talking about salt water coming from a spring, the idea is that's bad stuff. And actually, there's stuff, isn't it, that we need to try and avoid coming out of the spring of our mouths. So we need to try and avoid stuff like slander and gossip and cursing and unkindness and crudeness, angry words, bitter words, character assassinations, words that pierce and destroy and tear down, extreme moaning, harsh words, lies, hatred, sarcasm, and whispering. I don't like whispering. You know that. You know what I mean, don't you? When I say I don't like whispering, people. You see people in the corner. I hate that. Don't feel right to me. We need to avoid that stuff, don't we? Coming out of our mouths, out of the spring of our mouths. But then we know what we need to do is have the fresh stuff or what might be the good stuff. So I think we need to be things like truthful and kind, affirming, honest, supportive, life-giving, gentle, respectful, encouraging, loving. Isn't those the sort of things that as Christians we want to come out of the spring of our mouths? We need to avoid stuff, we need to be careful of stuff, and we need to flow the right stuff. I found this really challenging. I'll read this to you. I don't know if any of you saw this. It was a priest who recently quit from being a priest from his church. And he decided he would write a poem to his church that he was quitting. This is true. It's in Christian News. There it is. Okay. And this was his poem. What makes people not come to church? Could it be the people who already go? The righteous, the clique, and the worthy. The disdainful look given at the thought, you're in my seat. The unfriendly, so that stranger remains so. Gossip flows from holy lips. A hobby to talk about so and so, you know. A mix of disgruntled, unlikable, entitled, offended, who don't want to know. Better than you. Holier too. Tutting for a living, whispering about you know who. Did you ever go inside and wish you hadn't arrived? The words of love conveniently ignored, a plethora of benches occupied by the weekly board. What makes people not come to church? Cold indifference, quiet disdain of those who already go. If your first instinct when you hear the word go in peace is time for war, just don't make it so. Continue to go, but in Christ's likeness grow. Rejected, this is how for some it can feel. Yet each person who steps inside should be welcomed, accepted, loved, forgiven. This is the mark of the Lord's own seal. What makes people not run away? Hearing Christ's command to love and allowing those words in their hearts to stay. That's not a very nice poem, is it? It's a bit Now, I am not saying this is us here at Chadderton Community Church. I'm not. I really aren't. But can salty words ever come out of the church, come out of God's people? We know they can. Maybe we need to go to that scholar, Thumper, from Bambi, who said, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. We need to be careful with our words, don't we? The second thing, and I've just, like I say, I went all over the place with this. The second thing I want to talk about is words of prayer and words of praise. You know, let's consider for a moment just how valuable these are to God's people. First, we have the privilege of prayer. Being able to come before and talk to the one true Almighty God. That's amazing, isn't it? Not only that, our Heavenly Father wants us to share with Him. It's one of the main ways in which we connect with Him and build our relationship with Him. Not only that, prayer works. Prayer changes things. Prayer is mad. What I mean by that is it makes a difference in the world. Not only that, God speaks to us through prayer. I have permission to say this because Alison and Emma were praying together, as they sometimes do after in an evening, and I can't remember the passage they were looking at, but the prompt was to just be still before God and let God speak. So they were quiet together. And afterwards, Alison says to Emma, did God say anything to you? And she said, yes, He did. And she said, well, what is it? She said, well, you know, at night when I go to bed, I often take a snuggly, don't we all? She gets his snuggly in tight, and all night the snuggly's there. She said, that's what God told me He was like with me. He gets me and He holds me tight and He keeps hold of me. That sounds like God to me. doesn't it? But God speaks to us through prayer. And also praise. You know, praise, what a privilege it is to praise. Praise puts our focus on God. It can lift us. Praise can put into us truth. Praise can refill faith. Praise can renew our courage. Praise, as we shared about at the church prayer gathering this week, is our battle cry when we raise a hallelujah. You know, both prayer and praise are often places of encounter with the Holy Spirit. Do we know how valuable the words of prayer and praise are for us as God's people? Words of prayer and praise. My third point, there's a few, don't worry, we'll see which one speaks to you. My third one is this, words and actions. This was one of the challenges in our Jejon course this week, that our actions, of course, have to match our words. We have to walk the talk. Titus 1 verse 16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Oh, thanks for that. For God's people, it's not just about what we say, our words, isn't it? It's about what we do as well. Like we said earlier about our words, it's true of our actions, that they are an expression of who we are. They are windows to our lives. They are adverts to the world around us. We can't just use the line, oh, but I'm only human. It's not meant to be a get-out clause. And I think we use it as that. We do something and we say, well, I'm just human, aren't I? It's not meant to be a get-out clause. Yes, God's people are physically human, but we are also saved by grace. We are also being transformed by God's love. We are called to be different. Our words and our actions need to go together. The next thing I was thinking about was the battle that sometimes we have with words. I think sometimes we can find ourselves in a battle with words. Hurtful words, maybe, that have been spoken over us or to us in the past. And they take root in our lives, and we carry those hurtful words, and they affect us, and they squash us, and they hold us, and they bind us. Perhaps there are negative words that are thrown at us in society and in TV and on TV and in social media. We battle those words sometimes because they're difficult. We know also that it's one of the devil's main tactics to condemn us and to cause doubt, to cause distraction, to cause disunity and confusion and worry. He's going to throw those words at us because that's part of what he does, to hurt us and distract us and take us away from the goodness of all that God has for us. There are words that sometimes we say to ourselves. We are not always our best friend. Some of you will know this. You are not kind to yourself. And you battle those words. There are words that get into our head, especially when we're on our own or when it's the middle of the night. And those words that keep us awake and twirl around, and we battle them. There are so many words that we battle at times, I think. And we need to ask God, don't we, for his healing. And we need to ask God for his help over our battle with words at times. Many of you know in Ephesians 6, when it talks about the armor of God. And one of the amazing parts of the armor of God is the helmet of salvation, to protect our heads from the things that come that are negative and having a go at us, and the devil's tactics and those hurtful words. Get that helmet of salvation on to know who we are, who we belong to, where we stand in the fight against those words. saved by grace. And then the next thing, see, it's a bit of a pick and mix, you can see what I'm talking about today, was God's word to us. I was starting to think about God's word to us. God's word to us is the Bible. And 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 tells us that all scripture, God's word, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. God's word, the Bible, has been given to us to help us to get to know God better and to understand what is God's better for us. So many times we've talked about God's word, haven't we, as our spiritual food. As we need physical food, it's our spiritual food. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." When I always read that verse, I always think about Amy Grant. Some of you will know what I'm talking about, some of you won't. But she sang the song, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." But thinking about that, again, I read these words recently about God's word, God's Bible to us. Somebody said this, "When our way is especially dark, God's word is a floodlight. When we need to know God's presence and comfort, God's word is a lamp on the table. When we're having a dreary day, it's our sunshine. When we need guidance, it's a beacon. When we need courage, God's word is a torch. When we share it with others, it's a lighthouse. The more time we spend in it, the more radiant we become." And I put down in brackets, "We get a suntan." Sun, S-O-N, tan. Thanks for that. I spend hours on these messages, you know. As we spend time in God's word, it doesn't, it enlightens us, it helps us, it helps us to become and know God better and become more like Jesus in the world in which we live in to do. It's all these things to us, the word of God. Two more. Number six on my notes, I thought about in Jesus' name. Because in John 1, we read that Jesus himself is referred to as the word. Again, Jane Jo reminded us on the course this week that there is great power and authority in the name of Jesus. We used to sing a song, "In the name of Jesus, John, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory." Boom. What's it going to? "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee." Come on, Gary. "Who can know what God can do? Who can know of his love for you? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory." Amen. The name of Jesus has great power. Power to save, power to heal, power in the battle, power for miracles, in Jesus' name. We sing, don't we? I'm not going to sing this one again. "I just want to speak the name of Jesus." And as we sing that song, it's not just a song, it's when we sing it, it's what's behind the name, behind the word Jesus that counts. Because he's the one who can forgive sinners. He's the one who can set captives free. He's the one who can heal and comfort hurts. He's the one who can bind the brokenhearted. He's the one when we proclaim, who proclaims the good news to the poor. It's the name of Jesus. There is great power in the word who is Jesus. As we speak, as we share in Jesus' name, to heal and restore and see lives changed and transformed. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And then finally, I talked about sharing the word. I talked the other week about Peter the disciple Peter, full of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, going out onto the streets to share the gospel message. He went out with the word, and as he went out with the word and he preached the word and he shared the word, we're told in that moment alone, 3,000 people were added to the kingdom of God and were baptized. But today we carry those same words of life, those same words of salvation, those same words of eternity. We carry those words. Going on holiday today, but we're not going to the Netherlands, which we normally do. But a lot of you know that normally when we go on holiday, we go to the Netherlands. Gone for years to the Netherlands, occasionally to Belgium. And obviously over that time, many holidays in the Netherlands, I can now speak quite good Dutch. Double Dutch. Pancake. Van Nistelrooy, I don't know. I know I can't, you're right. I can't, they all speak English, so it's great. So it's really great that they all speak English. I'm going to Wales today, so I can't speak any Welsh either, can we, Wendy? So I'll do somewhere. But wouldn't it be strange to learn a language and never use it? That would be a bit of an odd thing. But in some ways, I feel this is true for many Christians. We've learned the language of the gospel of Jesus, but we don't use it. We don't share it. We don't speak it. We don't tell other people about it. We need to ask God, don't we? To help us be more confident, more courageous, to share the life-changing words of the good news of Jesus with others. We carry the words of eternal life within us. Saving words. We've learned it. We learn it in church. We're learning about it more today. But let's not just learn the language of the gospel of Jesus. Let's speak the language and share the language and the words of the gospel of Jesus to this world that so, so, so desperately needs it. So I wonder, in all those different things, where God might speak to you today. It's a bit of a pick and mix, like I said, message today. But James just gives us this real illustration, doesn't it, of how important our words are. Whether we're a Christian or not, but we're speaking particularly as Christians, as God's people today. That our words are this, the thing that kind of, many ways, is the underlining part of who we are, of everything we are. It's our words, it says, sets the whole course of our lives. So what do we need to think about today in that area? Do we need to little think about what is coming out of our mouths? Is it salt or fresh? Probably a bit of both, but how can we make sure that it's more good than bad? How do we get rid of stuff like gossip and crudeness and unkindness and assassination words and all that moaning and sarcasm and whispering? How do we clear that out of us? And how do we instead ask God to fill the well of our springs so we speak truthful and kind and affirming and honest and life-giving, respectful, encouraging, loving words as we go about our daily lives in the world in which we live in today? Or is it that bit about how valuable, have you caught it again, how valuable the words of prayer and praise are for us as God's people? That we can pray to Almighty God and things happen, come on. That we have this beautiful thing called praise that enables us to push into his presence and fill our faith and honor his name. Do we need to remember just how valuable they are to us? Do we need to think about how our words and our actions go together? You know, it's a bit like that fish car sticker, isn't it? The danger about putting a fish car sticker on your car. and then driving like a lunatic. That's why I've not got a fish car sticker on my car. The joys of another online speed course that I did a few weeks ago. But our words have to match our actions. Because they're windows to who we are. They're an expression of adverts into the world in which we live in. Maybe for some it's about thinking about the battle that we have with words. And many of us can relate to this. I know that because I talk to people about this battle that goes on with some of the words that are in us and come towards us and are thrown at us, and they get in, and we have to battle them in Jesus' name. Claim who we are. For some, maybe we need to recognize just how valuable God's word is to us. The Bible, again, not rocket science. This is, the Bible is our spiritual food. It's the lamp to our feet. How much time do we spend in it? How much time do we reflect on it? Ask God to speak into our lives through it. Maybe for some of us, we need to recognize just how powerful the name of Jesus is in this world. That we can speak in Jesus' name, yes, correctly and rightly. It has to match the Bible. But as we speak in Jesus' name, there is power to heal and to save and to win battles and to see miracles. We want to see more, don't we? And then finally, just that encouragement again is to share the word of Jesus. To share the gospel message. Don't just learn it. Don't just soak it in on a Sunday or in your own Bible studies or wherever you are. Let's learn it, but then let's speak it. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's tell others about him. His life-saving power and welcome and forgiveness. It's good news. So I pray somewhere in that message, pick and mixy as it might be, that something will speak to you today. Maybe one thing or maybe a few. The power of our words to bring life, but also death. I chose a song that we actually picked. I used the song on our midweek fellowship group as well. It just fitted where we were talking there about that name, Jesus. What it means. Not just a bloke in history, is it? It's this power in that beautiful name. And we speak Jesus into this place today as we sing, "What a Wonderful Name." Let's stand. Just going to pray. And just as we always do, we often do just that, leave that space to respond to whatever God might have said to you today in this. I hope something of the message, it could be a number of things, all of those things, or it could be just one specifically that God says, let's have a quick look at this today. And because that's often, I think, how he works. He says, today, let's just have a look at this whole thing about your actions, meeting your words, or sharing Jesus, or whatever. I don't know, it could be anything, couldn't it? So I just trust that, as we said at the beginning, the Holy One is here. So let's just bow our heads again for a moment. Well, we just take a moment. We know that we're going to sing again, and when we're going to move off into different places. Just in this moment, speaking to us again, we pray. What are you saying to us today? What's the encouragement? What's the challenge? What are we learning today, again, through your word and through your spirit? Lord, we said earlier on that you speak to us in prayer. We are praying now. Like you spoke to Emma and you give her that picture of what you are like for her and for us. Holding us. Keeping us safe. Would you speak to us now in this place? Lord, as you speak, I feel that there are some people that that point about battling words is very real again today. There are people battling words in their hearts and their minds. Maybe words from the past. Maybe words that the enemy is throwing at them. Lord, would you give them that sense of your presence? Would you show them your truth against lies? Would you give them that helmet of salvation that protects their minds and their heads, their brains from the battle of words, assuring them that they belong to you, that they are children of the living God? Would you bring healing to any words that have been spoken that have hurt? Would you challenge us again about your word to us? The Bible, it's our life, it's our spiritual food. We need to feast upon it, learn from it. And the word that is probably coming through from my mind most of all is the word sorry. That's one of the hardest words to say. But maybe some of us has to, that's the word we have to say. Sorry to you. Sorry to somebody else. Lord, sorry brings release and healing often. Give us courage where we have to speak. Lord, for us all, as we step from this place shortly, help us to really reflect on how our words make a difference. And what can come from us is good and not so good, life and death. Help us to be guided, help us to be wise, help us to hold our tongues sometimes, help us to speak better sometimes. May our tongue be something where fresh water is flowing, life-giving water to the people around us and the world and society that we're part of. That people would see you in our words. That our words would be a true window to who we are, a person of you. Would our words be an advert that we belong to you? Help us to try and tame that tongue with your help. Help us to that small part of us to steer us in the right way for your glory.